right, let's get into the Word of the Lord. And as we get ready to read the Word, I want to share just a couple things just before I read the Scripture to you. Lifeway Research and Ligonier Ministries did a recent survey. It was kind of interesting. Among classic evangelicals in America. And I thought, well, this looks good. And here's what, here are some of the views that what we call classic evangelical Christians have in the United States of America today. It'd be interesting to find out why they think like this. And many of them would be considered heretical when you align them with classic Orthodox Christian theology. For instance, 71% of America's evangelical Christians believe or think that Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. What's wrong with that idea? Yeah, he is God. He's the first and greatest being created by God. 71% of those evangelicals across America. 56% of evangelical Christians in America believe that the Holy Spirit is a force, not a personal being. They have Star Wars confused with the Book of Acts. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. 39% of evangelical Christians in America believe that their good deeds will help them gain heaven. 37% believe that God will always reward faith with material blessings. Okay? Always. That's what they believe. While we're at it, here are a few more. The idea that many have in among evangelical Christians in America, I can worship God just as well fishing on the lake as in church. Yeah, and some, I can add to that. Some of them think they can do that on the river, or they can do that up in the snow, or whatever it is they want to go do. And I promise you, it's not the same. Okay. The purpose of the church is my comfort and convenience. That's what the majority of evangelical American Christians believe. Then you know why that Christians from other parts of the world who pay a price to be a Christian look at America's Christians and go, really? We don't understand that kind of Christianity. We have to pay a price for this. This place is, we're just grateful we can find a place to gather and a Bible to read. And you think church is for your convenience and your comfort. We need to wake up in America. Amen? Amen. We do need to wake up in America. Boy, do we ever. And the American church needs it deeply. I hope that you will be praying this week for what happens back in D.C., I have some concerns in my heart over some of the hostilities that some people are displaying and what that might find itself in doing and manifesting. So pray for all those involved, for their protection, the blessing of God, whether you voted for the president-elect or not. He is the incoming president, and we need to pray for him and ask God to help him and the team around him and pray for protection. And pray for those who protect him, because they're going to be in harm's way if some of the volatility gets out of control. So I'd encourage you to do that. Pray for some of the folk. I believe there's some school members that are going to make their way back to D.C. this week and participate in the inauguration events from our community. And pray they have a safe journey and that they're blessed in their journey and find it to be a great learning experience. And let's pray that some of the things that have been proposed start to happen, because we do need a shift in direction in America. Amen? Amen? And pray for the advisors he has. I'm not talking about his cabinet members, but spiritual advisors he's assembled, some of which are phenomenally great people and love God with all their heart, that he'll listen carefully to the advice and counsel they bring once he becomes president. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter number one. Acts chapter number one, a new year and a fresh start. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Father, we thank you for a fresh start. We need the energy of the Holy Spirit in us, the dunamis power, explosive driving power of and passion of the Spirit of God in all of our hearts. And I'm believing you for a breakthrough year, a change in the atmosphere of your church, a change in the atmosphere of our community. Let it be so, Lord Jesus. In the name above all names, the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Give thanks to the Lord for a moment, would you? Come on. Give thanks to the Lord. In 2016, you might not have received everything you desired. But thank God there were some things that might have happened that did not. Amen? So thank the Lord you are alive. You're still praising. You're still honoring. You're still blessing. You're in your right mind. Give thanks to the Lord. Yeah. Amen. So I've got something the Holy Spirit planted in me from this passage that he wants you to catch, because his presence will speak louder than my words. And I desire that his presence speaks louder than my words, because I need, and we all need, his presence. And if you're hungry, I'm carrying something for you. I'm carrying a breakthrough for you, carrying healing for you. I'm speaking to hungry people, people not planning to live out 2017 the way they lived it out in 2016. So praise the right now God. We serve a right now God. Amen? So read this passage aloud with me together, that from Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Amen. We're not here for entertainment, and I'm not here to hype you, but I have something for you. I'm not here to just tell you something I've read about. I want to talk to you about some experience I have felt fresh from the Lord. Amen? The harvest of power, it's ours in 2017. God is going to take what we just read. You shall receive what?
Power.
The harvest of power belongs to his church this year. Please receive this, Calvary. We are anointed. And what are we anointed for? Anointed to shake the world. That's what the early church was tasked with doing. That's what the church of today is tasked with doing. This is what Jesus said his people are going to do when they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, you're anointed to shake the world. Say, we are anointed to shake the world. Not through theory. Not through doctrine or reasoning, but through signs, wonders, and miracles. See, God doesn't want us stuck in the paralysis of analysis. And for all those who have labored to convince others that Jesus is who he says he is, God never intended that people be converted through human reasoning, but by the anointing and conviction of the Holy Spirit working through your life, that what you're saying to them is true. That's what it means in Acts 1 and 8. You shall be witnesses to me. It wasn't their education. It wasn't their theological expertise that convinced people that Jesus was who he said he was. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them, bringing the power of the Lord to bear in their lives. So when they spoke, there was conviction in their speaking that was perpetrated by the power of the Spirit of God that caused people to sometimes gnash their teeth because of the conviction laid upon them that caused others to look at the disciples and said, these men have been with Jesus. They're not educated. They don't have all kinds of theological degrees, but we can tell they've been with Jesus. God doesn't want us stuck in that paralysis of analysis. The anointing of the Holy Spirit brings conviction, and we need the anointing upon all of us. You exude his power when you're anointed. And wherever someone puts a demand on his presence, that's where his power flows. Put a demand on his presence when you come seeking him with hunger and thirst. God called Calvary Christian Center to shake the world. Amen? Every disciple of Jesus is called to that mission. That was not just for the 12 or the 120. This is bigger than Facebook. It's bigger than Twitter. This is evidence from on high and from the throne room of God that people will witness it in your life, that love and living and leading like Jesus by the power of the Spirit, what seemed impossible, eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into hearts, but you are a world shaker because the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus' purpose and mission, is now translated into your life. Not because you went to college, not because of what you learned to say. It will be because of the power of the Holy Spirit resident in your life. It will be signs, wonders, miracles, all produced through your life because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Who here tonight desires a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall upon your life? Amen? God will not be boxed in. God always works out of the box we try to create for him. You know, we in the Western culture have learned how to make church work. We know how to package it. But when God brings a fresh wind of his Spirit, sometimes a new generation doesn't know how to handle it because they've never seen it, never experienced it. So sometimes they reject it or run away from it because they're fearful. God will not be controlled by human reasoning. God takes the wheel because this is his church. He's in charge. Amen? God will shake the world through you, his church. And everyone who thought the church irrelevant is about to witness a worldwide resurrection of the church. Amen? Healing, financial turnaround, restoration. He said, I'm opening prison doors. And the process is underway to release those held in bondage. I'm thankful the church is rising up once again and taking a great place of position, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And please know there's a move of God on in the world. What's going on in Asia, in South America, and now in some places in the Middle East, but for certain across the continent of Africa, is outstanding. The presence and power. I just received some information about 3 days ago from John Bevere. He was in what we used to call Saigon in Vietnam, holding a great rally. The place was packed with believers in this communist country. And the Vietnamese people came out on stage, and they danced across the stage to welcome John. And then he got to preach the gospel. And this place lit up. I mean, they put us to shame. And they're under the gun, and they're threatened, and they're told you can't do this in this country. And yet the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is such that John said, I wept having to leave. I did not want to leave them because of the presence and power manifested among them because they were hungry for God. Listen, it's going to hit the Western church. It's going to wake up the Western church, and it will disturb the atmosphere of the Western church. And I say, thank you, Lord. Amen. So let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And let me apply that to this principle I'm teaching about tonight, because we've been waiting for this. We've been trusting God. And don't get weary. Don't quit in the middle of this. Because there's a season coming when God is going to show us his great dynamic power. And what makes due season? What constitutes it all coming together in a due season when the atmosphere begins to change? What creates that? When he says, don't grow weary in doing good, he means you're going to get tested in your faithfulness. You're going to get tested in your persistence to believe God, even when you don't physically see anything happening that you can tell in the natural. It means you're going to have to go through that process. And God says, I'm trying to get you what is due you. I'm trying to bring it to you, and I'm allowing the test to see whether or not you're going to handle this well. The Vietnamese people certainly have been tested over the decades, and they have stood tall, going to prison, being brutally treated and tortured. Listen, being in the re-education camps because they profess the name of Jesus. And now they're in a due season when the presence and power of the Holy Spirit is being poured out upon them. You'll be tested. And he's trying to get us what is due us, but he's telling us, I can't bring a harvest when there's winter in the church. So I'm going to allow you to get to the place where you may even feel faint, and you may even feel like you're worn out. But I know you will not faint, because when you're about to give up, I will send a word to encourage you. And he says, I'm driving you to your knees so you'll develop a deeper worship and a deeper relationship. So if you can change the atmosphere from winter to spring, listen, the due season will arrive. The church in places has become at times too professional in its praise. Now, I'm all for rehearsing, preparing, and doing the best that God's gifted us to do. Don't ever get me wrong on that. I prepare, and everyone on my platform should be prepared. We should prepare to the best of our ability, and that way we honor God by our preparedness. But sometimes we have to be very observant, and I've watched it now take over in some of the conferences I've attended, some of the things I've observed. We become personality-driven, performance-driven. Watch me play my guitar so well that you'll be mesmerized by my skill sets. Wrapped up in the latest technology at the expense of the anointing and the presence of God. No. People come to church cold, not having prayed before they arrive. And then we expect the supernatural to just somehow show up. The reason God allows you to be in the pressure that you're in, he has to get the atmosphere switched. And if I can switch the atmosphere, he can release supernatural manifestations. That's why in an atmosphere of great worship, there are great miracles that manifest, because the atmosphere is full of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he can work. And we're not under judgment, so to speak, but God needs from us a deeper relationship. Yes. Not entertaining songs and performances, but a relationship. God's not interested in our regular praise. God's looking for true worshipers. That's what Jesus told the woman. People who don't mind getting their faces ugly in the presence of the Lord. Worshippers who are not walking around with their nose in the air. But they've come to hear from God and God alone. And the greatest miracles God has reserved for his church were not going to happen through ordinary means, as church as usual, nor will they happen through the obvious means. The only reference point we're going to have is that came from God. That was a God thing in the middle of our expectation. God did beyond our expectation. What is about to happen in your life will not be traced back to flesh. So stop looking to flesh to deliver you. What God's going to do is not going to have its origins in flesh. Now, you can go chase the next crusade, and you can go hear the next prophet, and I'm telling you, what God wants to do in your life will be through God and God alone. Saying, I can't explain it, but I know it was God. Is there a witness here tonight? Yes. No. eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. So what's the key to all of that unfolding? To those who what? Love him. And love requires me to do what he asks. God has reserved these for his people. Tell your neighbor, you haven't seen anything yet. Amen? You haven't seen anything yet. Now watch this. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. And we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So just when some counted you out, and I believe there are actually people in our culture who have looked at what we do in here. They've tagged us with all kinds of names, by the way. You've probably heard some of them. They have counted us out. Well, they don't have the numbers. They don't get out and vote. They're not going to do any. Listen to me. They may have counted you out. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to have to count you in. Double. And watch. This broke me when I heard it. God said, I'm hovering over my church. The Spirit of the Lord is hovering over his church. And I'm looking, he said, for some hungry people who are sick of business as usual. Tired of a couple of hours of service, but no breakthrough in their lives. People, when they encounter Monday, are looking for a miracle. When they move into Tuesday, supernatural demonstration. That's why Wednesday we heard such phenomenal stories of what God's been doing. And when they speak, their words don't fall to the ground because they're starting to walk in the presence of the Spirit. So when they show up on Sunday, they're ready to celebrate the Lord. This is supposed to be a celebration, not a funeral. Victories. You celebrate that though the devil has attempted to get to you, the power of God has delivered you. Celebrate that. Amen. Jesus' church was designed to lead the way. That's why I included in that statement, love and live like him. We are to lead like him. He designed his church to lead the way. And everything is aligning itself on the planet right now for the entry and re-entry of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everything is aligned. The earth and the heavens are being aligned. Everything is falling into place in the Middle East to align itself for that focal point of Israel. There's great expectation building all around the world in the church. There are people in church, unfortunately, in our culture that are in church out of obligation. Don't allow that to quench your spirit if there are some who only come out of obligation, because release is coming for the whole body. This is not an ordinary moment. We need God's instructions. You know, in football, there is overtime. What does overtime mean? Overtime means you don't know what's about to happen. You're in overtime. I'm saying you are in overtime. You don't know what's about to happen. But I do want to tell you, you're going to win. I'm predicting the outcome. You're going to win. Some of you are going to win by a touchdown. Others are going to win by a field goal. Some are going to win by a safety. But I know this, you're going to win. Amen. You might not know what will happen in your body, but I know this, you're going to win. You might not know how it's going to happen in finances, but know this, you're going to win. You don't know what's going to happen in your business, but know this, you're going to win. You don't know what's going to happen with the new political leadership, but know this, church, you're going to win. Where are the winners tonight? Where are you tonight? Amen. God's Spirit is hovering over Calvary Christian Center, waiting like he did over the waters of the deep prior to God's great creation. Here's what is hovering in the atmosphere for his people. There will be financial breakthrough. See what I mean when I speak about finances? People go, Okay, broke folks, sit there, pay no attention. It's not for you. The first sign of impending deliverance, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The first thing the Spirit does, he liberates the broken. He immediately begins to re-energize. The next thing he desires to release to his church, creative miracles. What does that mean? You're believing God for a physical need to be met. And doctors don't know how to go about treatment for your specific case. And while you're waiting for the report, while you're waiting for the MRI, while you're waiting for some result, God is in the business of creating a miracle. Amen? For you, designed for you. And we have no explanation for this. He can create restored health. What was that little girl's name, 4 years old?
Maxine.
Maxine? Yeah, you brought her to the office. There's a little girl about this high. I just want to say thank you for praying for me. Because the Lord healed her. Creative miracle. He can create restored health. He says, don't you box me in. Don't limit me. He says, revelation knowledge. So let me declare every marriage that's been splintered, God out of that can create a new marriage and a new home and a new atmosphere. In order for the supernatural to manifest, the atmosphere has to change. It's still a little cold in here. Still just a little bit too churchy in here. And some still remain seated when the Spirit of the Lord is saying, get up and praise me. There needs to be holy fire in here. How long have you been where you are? And God says, I'm hovering over you. I have breakthrough for you. I have supernatural for you. So catch this. Revelation knowledge is being revealed to the people of God. And God says, if I can get you to break out of that atmosphere that you've been in, I'm revealing strategies, plans, exposing my cycles and showing you the revelation of how I work. That's why the word says, in the dispensation of time. As time moves, God reveals certain things. He sequences that revelation. Being revealed now, things that are in the word that we read and we keep reading and seem, well, that seems interesting. And then all of a sudden, as time moves, you reach a point where revelation begins and you look at that same passage and go, wow, I never saw that. That's always been there, but now's the time for it to be revealed. The only way it happens on earth by way of revelation, which means you need to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, not your emotion. Because your emotions will take you all kinds of places. Have you noticed a restlessness in your life? Mm-hmm. Some people, you're in church for a sermon. I can't preach just a sermon. We're here for an encounter with God. And that has to be delivered through revelation. And God says, I'm hovering, I'm healing, I'm doing the creative. I will show you the way to financial restoration. I'll show you. It's miraculous when God provides a means that you, there was no means, but God provided it. You see, when the saints used to declare, the older elder saints in the church in which I grew up, I'm sure Donna did the same thing, they would say to you, look you in the eye and say, he makes a way out of no way. Where there is no way, God makes a way. Because they had lived that, they had experienced that, and they were trying to impart that to a younger generation who had not walked through that. That's the creative miracle revelation of God. God's Spirit is hovering. He releases his angelic hosts. We're on the brink of a visitation, an invasion, not just in a church building, in your home, in your work environment. Protection by angelic visitation, angelic ministry. You should welcome God's manifestation of protection in your life and family. And it's not without biblical foundation that when we pray with our grandchildren at night, one of the prayers that I pray that they can hear is thank you for giving your angels charge over us tonight and protecting our home and our lives and watching while we're sleeping that we're well. Amen. God's saying we've been tethered to programs until we become dependent. But now we need to embrace signs and wonders and miracles too, also, because that's a part and parcel to the balance that God has for his church. You know, the old timers used to look at us young in ministry and just learning how to speak. When I was a teenager in high school, taking over our youth group was 75 people, young people in that group. And we used to meet on Sunday afternoon, our services. And that was easy then for all of us to just transition right into the evening service. And bam, every one of us was a part of what God was doing spiritually in our evening services. It was a blessing to be able to do that because we're all in one place. We're all worshiping God. And some of those great preachers that would come through and preach and then visit in our homes and talk to us about what God was doing across the world and their ministries. I was so honored to be able to be at the table with some of these folk and listening to them intensely. And then looking at us and saying, when all you've got is God's word, you'll dry up. When you discard just God's word and just want the fire of his presence, you're going to burn up. But if you'll take the balance of God's word along with the fire of his presence, then you'll grow up. And man, were they right on the money with that. Amen? Because we've been tethered to programs until we've become dependent on them. We need to embrace signs, wonders, and miracles as well. Amen? This is not a day to be playing church. And during the 21-day Daniel fast, we were praying and praising and worshiping. Expect God to respond. He's waiting for the atmosphere to change because he has a new season for all of us at the church. We have to do something different, creating an atmosphere for him to work. Fasting and praying is something different. We create an atmosphere for him. I'm tired of receiving less than what God desires to bestow on us. If we are hungry enough, God promised he'd break forth in miraculous like we've never seen in our history. And he'll cause it to be contagious among other hungry churches. And he'll break it out across the state of California. And he just needs a CCC, someone to come along before him, humbly seeking his presence. And God says, I guarantee now, not tomorrow. When someone said, see you tomorrow, back in the day, the response was, the Lord willing. So take advantage of the moment you see now, because we don't have a promise of tomorrow. All we have is now. And God says, I give you now. I give you now. So we've been trained to look for stuff out there somewhere. One day, someday. Hear this. God says, be bold enough to reach out and take it now. The mistakes of 2016. We gave God 365 days to do what he could have done in one. Let's have a good now. Amen? Whatever days God gives us in the now, let's have great days. Why leave tonight and miss now? Tell your neighbor, I'm going to have the best now I've ever had. And it begins right now. Now. God says, reach out and take it. Now. And if you'll grab hold of now, you'll speak things as they're actually happening. This will mess you up. Because if you believe something happened, you're supposed to act like it, right? You're supposed to praise like it. You're not to act like it's going to come one day. You're acting like it's here right now. God says, if you know it's here, take it now. The dimension of faith Abraham exhibited is the model and template for all of us, calling things that were not as though they were and saying, I don't see it now, but it is here now, and I'm calling it now. Not believing for something out there, but already here. And God is asking, why are you waiting? Change the atmosphere. Believe me now. Not for a year from now, but now. Maybe I need to talk to you. Are you more alert over here than these over here? Okay. He has never seen us shout for victory until after we have received it. But just as soon as you believe, you've received it. Now, what's keeping you on delay? Let me take a few seconds. God's been trying to give it to you and bless you. But if you can thank him like you've got it, if you can bless him like you have it, if I told you I were going to give you the keys tonight to a new 2017 Benz, anybody want to run up here and grab those keys? Yeah. Some people, listen, the Holy Spirit is pushing you to move, but you don't move. You're worried about what somebody's going to think if I do that. Here's what I've learned. People will talk about you either way, so you might as well get over people. Amen? Right. Praise him like you've got it. You've got it. It's on you. He's hovering with healing and deliverance and breakthrough and restoration. And let me tell you what I heard before I got into this. Because for some, even though it's now, it's going to be three days. Because within 3 days, well, Pastor, that's contradictory. You said now. No, wait a minute. It's both. This is the first day, and you're believing now. And calling it as if it is done. Because some things that God starts doing now are progressive. See, some of you will take 3 days to go to see your doctor from tomorrow before you get the results. Because you're probably not going to get in tomorrow before you get your confirmation. So it is now, but it may take up to 3 days for you to see it in its full bloom. How do you explain that? You praised it out. You worshiped it out. When Glenn was told by his doctors, when he was on certain protocols, now stay away from the public. You're not to go out in public because if you catch anything, it could kill you. You could catch the slightest cold and in your depressed immune system, it'll kill you. And you looked at him and said, I'm not stopping. I'm going to church. I'm going to go worship the Lord. I'm not going to miss church just because I'm in this protocol. And you're a living testament to, we really can't explain this, but, amen? Praise him like you've got it. Amen. Praise him like you've got it. Tell your neighbor, I thank God for my pressure in life. Woo-hoo. Tell him, it's pushed me to the place. Come on, tell them, it's pushed me to the place to change the atmosphere for the release of the supernatural. Because if everything was fine, I wouldn't have prayed like I prayed. If everything was fine, I wouldn't have gotten to know him like I know him. Because there was a time you just used to pray for stuff. Now you're praying for relationship. Big difference. And as long as you have him and he is with you, no worry about finance, creative miracles, and revelation. It's an outpouring of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. Hovering over you now is revelation from the Lord by the Spirit for any and all situations you're confronted with. and it will take you over and above whatever you're facing with an abundance. And the devil messes with you because he wants to rob your now. And if he can disturb your now, you're never going anywhere. He doesn't mind if you show up for church services, just as long as you don't believe it now. He loves it when you're frustrated. He loves it when people in church mess with you, so you say, I can trust anybody but whoever shows up for church. That's the devil talking to you, to steal your now. He's neutralized you at that point. And if you're going to heaven, if you're going to walk in the purposes of God, you've got to be on board the ark. And this is the ark. We're on board the ark. That's why God built the church, to get us on board for our trip. Amen? Now, the ark had two of every creature, horses, tigers, dogs, ducks, cattle, monkeys, snakes, you name them, they were on board. We've got all that in the church. Amen. Two of every kind. When you look at what was in the upper room, man, they were from everywhere. They weren't just one kind. They were from every culture and every background, and they all had opinions and ideas and concepts. But they got themselves on board the ark, and they were all in one accord. In order for them to stay alive, they had to stay on the ark, and they had to learn to work together in the body of Christ. Because you can leave church all you want, but life is not out on the street. That's a lie from hell. Life is in the body of Christ. And by the way, perfect people are not welcome. Because all of us on board this ark are imperfect people. And he compels this to be said. We must operate from revelation, not emotion. That means Jesus could walk to a pool with a multitude of people, lame, blind, sick, and he chooses to only go to one, asking if he wants to be well. Why did Jesus only go to the one person? Because he was the only person Jesus saw that his Father directed him to. As he said, I only do what my Father tells me. Some people are doing things God didn't tell you. Well, God told me. No, God didn't tell you. That's you, not God. And some people are going after stuff that's a good idea, but it isn't necessarily God. You never received a revelation from God himself. And God says, if you can see it revealed from me, then you'll know it exists. And others will know because they help confirm that to you. Then you call it out and you can frame it because it's a God thing. Before that, you have to be convinced, not in your emotions, but in your knower, that God said it because you spent time with him. When you're hanging out with him, God will speak clearly to you. So you can say, I know that I know. And you're not guessing, and you're not hoping, and you're not trying to convince yourself that God told me. You saw yourself debt-free. You saw yourself healed. You saw your family restored. Amen? So when you speak it, you declare it, and it manifests because it came from the heart of the Father. I had this amazing moment a couple of nights ago. I haven't even told anybody about it. No one. It was similar to what I had happened several years back. And I was transported into the presence of the Lord, and the Father was speaking to me. And he said, son, I want you to rest in my favor. Just rest in that. Because there are a multitude of things that flying around all the time and doing what I do that can certainly keep you less than restful. And the Holy Spirit ministered to me that night and took me right into the presence of God, and he walked me into this beautiful setting, and it was peaceful and calm and green and lush. And the Father spoke to me and said, "Son, you can rest with me. You don't have to worry. Just rest with me." It was a beautiful moment. Now, I know that I know, because when I woke up, it was as real as my fingers moving on my hand that it happened to me. I know that I know that I know. See? But if you don't see it, it's not going to happen. You will never receive a manifestation without a revelation from God. You will never receive a manifestation without a revelation from God. But as soon as you see it and declare it and lock in on it, it happens. This is the reason the word says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." That's what I read a few minutes ago at the beginning of this message. In the survey among evangelical Christians, you go, because of not operating in revelation, the enemy has taken your families, your lands, your finances, and it's made it hard for you to stand and serve God. People have grown bitter. They've sniped at one another. I'm declaring that day is over. There's an end to that. Amen? And we need an intimacy tonight for a few moments in his presence, in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. First, you need to remember that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not the force. He's not a cloud. He's a person. He is the third member of the Godhead. He's as much God as the Father or the Son. The three are one. And the one is three manifestations. And he wants fellowship with you. Because Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him, doesn't know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." And God loved you so much that he sent from his throne the manifestation of himself in the form of the Holy Spirit to come alongside you and to dwell in you. And accept that only the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can satisfy your hunger and your thirsts. Because he created each of us with a longing and desires, and he's the only answer for those desires. He spoke of the first and greatest commandment, that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And as it was meant to be, this is why the Holy Spirit was sent to us. We were made for God and created in us a continual longing to be with him. So I need him. I have to have him. And avoid putting anything that's a barrier between you and the Holy Spirit. We're told, quench not the Spirit in 1 Thessalonians. Don't put a damper on him. When he's trying to speak to you, he'll come to you softly, and it's very easy to brush him off because you're very strong-willed and want to do what you want to do. We are warned also to grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't do things that you know are offensive to him and grieve him, because he shrinks back from that, not because he's not strong, but because it's such an offense to him. And it's more than just avoiding a sinful life. It also means that I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable to him. So that vessel that seeks to be filled with the holiness cleanses itself, amen, washes, and keeps ourselves clean. And then experience the fact that God loves you and he has goodness for you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. While you're fasting and praying, go feed at the feet of Jesus on bread that only he can provide. Taste and see that he's good. How can anyone develop a taste for anything, food, drink, conversation if you don't ever experience it. It's like one of the kids, Mama prepares something and I don't want that. Well, you've never eaten it. I don't want it. I don't like it. How do you know you don't like it? Well, I don't want it. Okay. And that's the way we are. And all of a sudden they taste and go, oh, wait a minute. Taste and see that the Lord is good. One delicious taste leads to a meal. And then it turns into a banquet. And the same goes for tasting of the Lord. A little develops a desire for more. And the hunger grows even greater. And you get to know him. And you get to start spending time with him. And you have conversation with him. I converse with him through the whole course of the day. Hour after hour, day after day. And he promises to satisfy because the hunger keeps growing. I need more input from you. I need more guidance from you. I need a word from you. I need wisdom because I don't have any in this situation. And I need you to give me what I need and pursue him. That requires a conscious, ongoing choice and decision to yield ourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto the Lord. Many are the gifts from God, and many are the greatest gift, or many are the gifts from God and great fruit that comes in developing from him. But the greatest gift of all that God's ever sent to us is the presence of the third person of the Godhead, the Spirit of the living God. And through pursuing him, you have access to the Comforter, to the Helper, to the Counselor of all counselors. And that requires an active desire to pursue him. So, lo, everyone who is thirsty, let him come to me. Come to Jesus tonight and ask him to fill you with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Here's what I want everybody to do. I think we need to spend a few moments at the feet of Jesus tonight. Active pursuit to know him like I've never known him. And if you got obstacles and stresses and struggles, all the more so, come. Stop running away from God. Run to God and say, Lord, I'm allowing this pressure to push me.